Hi, everybody, and welcome back to our Thursday live podcast, which we are, of course, simultaneously streaming across onto the Getters. So I'm just going to make sure, actually, just as I say that, I want to be able to see all the stuff that we're seeing on the Getters. So that means I need to just open up my Getter live and it should be over there, I think. So let me just see. Yep, we is live. Yep, we's live in the Getters. We's live here on the Podbeans. So there you go. Whoa. Feedback. Did you get that feedback? Jed was, oh, so, whoa, hang on, Jed, I just missed you. So, okay. That's what comes of me flipping around with different windows. Anyway, a warm welcome to you all. And it has to be said that I'm going to bring on the usual gang. I can see they're in the studio. They're all lining up. Just need Jed to come in as well. Jed, if you have another go, I think I'll be able to get you in. We got a lot to chat about. A lot to chat about. And in fact, you know, oh, here we go. That should bring Jed into the studio, and that's going to join our friend, the City Troll, and Ed as well. So we've got all you lot to talk, a lot of things to talk about. And I guess, Jed, can I just start with you, actually? And that is just at the top of last week on this Thursday podcast thing that we do, we're celebrating the fact that we did 500,000 downloads. So, Jed, let me ask you the question. Did we sit back and think, well, that's cool, we've achieved what we've wanted, or did we do something else? Jed, tell the people.
Silly question, David. Very silly question. Of course, we don't sit back. We push forward constantly, trying to give our listeners and our viewers more every time, and trying to engage with them more. And I think I know what you're leaning to, and it begins with the letter F, and the second word begins with the C, if you wish me to mention that one.
Yes. Let's just introduce everybody who's going to be listening live, and there's a tremendous number listening replay as well, actually, which always amazes me. Jed, just explain to them a couple of the things of the developments on the platform before we get into the discussion.
Well, as it is, guys, you know we need your support to keep this show on the road. So what we do have within the Podbean app, and for those watching on Getter, you will be able to see it on screen, is we have a fan club. And you can become part of that fan club. And it is very simple. Just within the Podbean app, all you have to do is click on David's face as the host of the show.
And it will God help you.
I can't say any more about that, David. And you can buy support or become a fan either for 1 month, for 3 months or for 12 months. It's all to do with the beans that Podbean does. But for that, you do get a unique membership. You get special emojis. You get cool entry visuals as you come into the stream. And you also get priority on the call-in list. So you'll go to the top of the queue, so to speak, if you try to call in. And by doing that, you can help support us.
Yeah, and actually, Jed, it works because I know you are thus far the sole and only member, but when you came in, your name, it looks different for you. The Jed jumps out at me because of, well, whatever, the way this works, basically. So,
I never asked people to do, David, what I wouldn't do. So I've supported the channel. I know I work for you and we put this together as a pair, but I support the channel. I chip in my two pence worth to help fund all the things that we need to pay for to keep this show on the road.
Well, yeah, which I appreciate. So if everyone could do it, look, it's called the David Vance Fan Club. That embarrasses me. It's not really the David Vance Fan Club. It's this stuff that we do here. And it's this show that we put together. And it's not just me. It's Jed. It's Ed. It's Patty. It's all of you guys who come here so loyally. It's for all of us. But the point is, as Jed points out, it's about trying to find little fun ways, which Podbean facilitates, that enable that enables.
Well, we've just actually had our second fan, actually, and he's our great supporter and great contributor to the show, Adrian.
Yeah,
you can see now, it says on the screen that he's a super fan.
Yeah, and it says, it does say that. Yes, you're right. Yeah, and he says, do we get signed picks as a bonus for signing up? No, you know, you haven't been that bad, Adrian. Nobody deserves that. Leslie asked the question, I don't have a Google account. Do you need a Google account to do this, Jed? I don't know.
No, I don't think you do. You need to have the Podbean app installed on your device. But once you get in, you need to purchase the beans prior to becoming a fan, if you see what I mean. And if you look at the bottom of the screen, you see the parcel icon in the bottom right corner. If you're on Android, I'm not too sure about iOS. But if you click that, you can actually buy beans either using Google Pay, using PayPal, or any other online service for payment. And you buy the beans, and then you go to the fan club bit, and you can then sign up based on how many beans you've bought.
Right. Okay. So that's that. Then the other thing, Jed, maybe I'll introduce, and that is that in addition to this, you know, we try to put out loads of content, and there's so much stuff to talk about. Really, there really is. Therefore, what we do, again, under the auspices of Podbean, we've created what's called, Jed, a premium channel. Isn't that right? A premium podcast channel, which kind of operates in parallel with this. And the way it'll operate is that once a week, there's going to be a long form, 30 minute or so, it might be more, you know the way I go on, at least a long form kind of review of the main stories of the week with additional commentary and additional banter, basically. And that's at the essence of the premium channel. I think that's it summed up, Jed, isn't it?
Yeah, I think you're right there, David. Yes, it will be, well, we'll say long form, what, 30 minutes or so?
Half an hour, yeah.
Of the weekly news roundup. If I may say, David, I don't know if I'm giving the game away, that we plan our first one this coming Sunday, which is a day you don't normally do podcasts. So it fills that gap in the week where David normally takes a rest. And I take a rest. It does take some time to get this. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Even God rested on Sunday. And that comes out. You can have a nice listen on the Sunday afternoon to a nice 30-minute podcast from David on the news weekly roundup. There's graphics on the screen for those that are watching us on Getter, and you can see.
And again, Jed, access to the premium channel and the once you pay, I think it's a small amount on a one-off in due course. Initially, they'll all be free. Don't worry about that. But at one point, again, the intention is to bring in additional revenue to help offset the costs of doing all of this, because the platforms themselves, Podbean and StreamYard, are by no means, which we use to be the studio thing, they're no means inexpensive. So we're just trying to do what we can. So I think that's enough of that there, malarkey. I think that's it, Jed. We've covered that. Right. I know that's, you didn't really want to hear that, did you? But it's different things. We're trying to augment the show, and that's what we're doing. Right. First topic, British policing needs root and branch reform, says Peter Hitchens in the Daily Mail. I completely agree with him. I'm going to come to you, Ed, first, by the way, just as a heads up. And this is in the light of the news that the Metropolitan Police, the UK's largest police force, is in special measures at the moment. And special measures is where an organisation is so dysfunctional, so failing, that it has to basically have additional people come into it from outside. Just like a failing business, really, I suppose, Ed. And that's where the Met is, along with six other UK police forces. So, Ed, do you agree with Hitchens that British policing needs radical change?
Yes, I do. I think the police is just about everything except criminal behaviour now. I had to laugh at the Met police, Sadiq Khan, waxing lyrical about how terrible it is when he's actually the figurehead of the Met police as Mayor of London. That's his role. So that was quite ironic. But yeah, I mean, it's an interesting one, isn't it? Because obviously there's been a few bad incidents with the Met police over the last couple of years with Sir Everard, etc. And there's this absolute rush from the media to tar every policeman with the same brush. And it's funny how that works, isn't it? Because it certainly doesn't happen after jihadi attacks or grooming gang attacks that we see this kind of reaction. But hey-ho, the whole of the police force, the whole of the Met is in special measures. I mean, the whole police force isn't fit for purpose. We've known for decades they haven't policed things like the grooming gangs. If anyone's had, as I have, experienced a crime, they don't come out, they're not interested, they don't follow up. I mentioned on here a year or two ago that my son had a violent assault. And no follow-up. They couldn't even get them to come and take the CCTV footage. So that's where I think we've gone wrong. So I think we need to get back to the Robert Peel basics of policing and just have a royal charter or something to just redefine what policing in the United Kingdom is all about, because it's so far away from what it is meant to do. That's my view anyway.
Yeah, no, totally. Oh, by the way, Adrian, if you want to come into the stream, just let me know and I can bring you into the studio with the rest of the guys. Jed, what's your views on sort of the absolute state of British policing?
I think it should be tore down and start again. I think the wokeness has infested it from the very top. And, you know, some people say, well, the bobby on the street, so to speak, isn't the problem. But actually, they are, because they still enforce what the Royal College of Policing say, you know, is their guidelines, etc., etc. So every element, and the fact that the police are in special needs, they're there to stop and fight crime, but they spend their time with wokeness. It's mind-boggling.
We're joined by our friend Adrian, and Paddy, don't worry, I am coming to you as well. I haven't forgotten about you. But Adrian, I mean, Jed and Ed have reflected my own view in this, that policing's just British policing in the UK is a farce. The only thing they can do is if you say something that hurts somebody's feelings in social media, oh, they'll be round. If you're a naughty boy and don't wear a mask, then they might be round, as I discovered. But for all other purposes, including the one that Ed eloquently described, they're not to be seen. What's your thoughts on what we need to do with policing here in the UK?
Well, it obviously stems from the government and the direction that the government is giving them and telling them the policies that they must be sort of pursuing. It's a large force. I'm not sure of the actual number in it. I am sure that the overwhelming majority of the individual police officer is a good person, does want to fight crime, but they're now bogged down with so much paperwork, so many rules and regulations, that it's becoming harder and harder for them to do their job. They can't name these grooming gangs because they're afraid of creating racial tensions. You know, what happened to the days of, it doesn't matter whether you're black, you're white, you're Muslim, whatever, you're a criminal, you face the full force of the law. That has just been obliterated beyond belief. And Sadiq Khan, well, the man that worked for the Nation of Islam, it's a case of infiltration from within. He's now telling people, oh, I can't work with this person, they're not good. And, you know, whether the rights and wrongs of Cressida Dick, I know she's had different controversies in the past, but again, a man who has no real experience of policing shouldn't really be able to decide how the police polices society.
You see, this is the point, Adrian. I think that politicians have ruined policing. And you know, the UK does have, Ed mentioned, you know, Sir Robert Peel, who basically set up that which was the original structure of the police force. And I think that's what we need to get back to. I think we need to get back to policing, which is entirely local, which is based on the streets, which, you know, isn't politicized, which doesn't have all these, you know, oh, we've got to have rainbow cars, and oh, we've got to have, you know, whatever the current thing is, we have to be seen to be supporting that. We don't need any of that. We need to get rid of that. We need to tear it down and basically start again, because people don't have any confidence in the police. I mean, Ed, you mentioned the fact that, you know, you reported that crime regarding, you know, your son's bike. And I mean, you know, the net result coming back, nothing. How does that make you feel about the police?
Well, just to touch on what the guys have said, the whole thing of policing is it's not politicised, but of course it is now, because we vote for the police and crime commissioners and they have a political agenda, so that all needs to go as well. In terms of that experience, and I'm sure anyone who's had the house burgled or anything else like that has had something similar, but you know, at the end of the day, it was a violent attack. Property was stolen, it was captured on CCTV, and it was a battle just to get them to look at the CCTV, and this was a violent assault. So, you know, and all sorts of excuses. And, you know, I live live on the border between two counties, and the initial thing is, oh, it's probably over the border, and we've got our systems don't talk to their systems. So even if it's found, there's no way we can track it down. Just this complete and utter shrug of the shoulders, you know, you've got no chance kind of attitude to have this followed up or any chance of getting it back. It's staggering, really. You know, and we pay, you know, a fortune in taxes for this. And what are we actually getting? I don't know. I don't see a bobby on the beat anymore. I don't see crime police. I think there's a stat about sexual crime. It's less than 3% even goes to court, never mind gets a prosecution. So you know.
Right, okay, everybody, so I think that must have been climate change or racism, but we appear to have had a technical glitch, so sorry about that. So just to say, hopefully everybody is back in.
I just want to say, David, I kept the guys on getter going with some idle chit chat. I'm not very good without a good horse like you, David, but I hope I sufficed just to keep them interested until you came back.
Okay, well, yeah, it's Adrian reckons it's Putin. Yeah, it's probably Putin, undoubtedly. It has to be Putin. But sorry about that one. It's been a while since we've had a technical glitch in the middle of this, Jed, so I suppose the best thing to do when this happens is to basically start up a new version of the show, really. So sorry about that for those in Podbean. Obviously, on Getter, it continued, Jed, so it was a Podbean-only issue.
I think Podbean was identifying as Twitter for a little while and banned you there, David.
Did it now?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. The Getter stream kept going, so I just tried to entertain followers in the interim, David.
Okay, well, listen, Paddy, I'm sorry you've been sitting there a long time and I haven't had a chance to bring you in, but you've heard the guys talking about the fact that, you know, we've got these identified institutionally failing police forces, including London, the Metropolitan, Paddy. And I know, you know, with your own family background in policing and whatnot, I wondered what your thoughts about, you know, the state of modern policing.
Well, I pray for you guys. I hope that you're not experiencing what we are in the middle of right now. In the United States, policing has completely collapsed. We're at the state of not quite anarchy, but just about. We are now on what has pretty much come down to just the honor system. Those who have honor and believe in the law aren't breaking it, and those who break the law break it, do as they please. Even when they get arrested, they just get set free. We just had yesterday two illegal immigrants cross the border with 150,000 fentanyl pills, get arrested, caught, got all the drugs, had the guys in jail, and the judge let them loose on their own recognizance.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and Paddy, I see endless instances of, in some of the Democrat states like California, I see the most remarkable things, people going into shops, just lifting whatever they want and just walking out the door.
every major city has dropped. You're allowed to steal. They go in with calculators. It's because they have a dollar limit. You could steal up to $1,000. They stand there with calculators and, you know, and figure out what they can do because they won't get pressed. And even if you go above the limit, they don't press charges. We have now reached the point in every major city in the United States that there is no policing. And the police are afraid to do their jobs because if you, you know, if you go to arrest somebody and the person decides they're going to fight you and get violent and everything else, and they get hurt, you wind up, the cop winds up being prosecuted. And you've got, you know, this is, things are getting really bad. Right now, like I said, I grew up in Philadelphia, which has always been one of the top five most dangerous cities in the country and everything. But right now it is the most dangerous. And it's even, you know, if you percentage wise, it's at a higher murder rate than Chicago. And this is just sheer insanity. We have DAs and political figures that just will not prosecute. And they're letting the animals prey on the law abiding citizens.
Yeah. It, and the thing is that I reckon the thing that unites just about everybody on the stream, everybody in the studio. Oh, by the way, Adrian, remember to dial back in so I can bring you back. Is we naturally, I think, have a desire to want to see the rule of law and to see, you know, everybody treated equally under the law. But
could I say one thing?
Yeah.
It's we agree that is the general, that is everybody worldwide. We're supposed to be civilized people, which means you follow laws, but none of our leaders are any longer subject to the rule of law. And now our leaders in our country are telling their followers to go out and break the law, to go attack judges, to attempt and murder Supreme Court judges and riot and burn the place down. When you have people that are that are not under the rule of law themselves and in encouraging others to be not under the rule of law, we're heading for a big problem, and you know, and not just politically.
Yeah. Sorry, Paddy, I'm not sure if you were finished there or not. Yeah, I agree. You know, we do have the fundamentals of society being toppled. And actually, Adrian makes a really good point here. Is this on purpose to help society break down faster? See, that's a good question. That way they can implement every new system of control. Like, I'll be honest with everybody. I mean, my view changed over the COVID years when I seen the police turned into basically gow leaders for what I consider to be the cabal, the New World Order, whatever you want to call it. And they showed a complete disconnect to what people, you know, what people wanted. They were just enforcing what the government wanted. So stay in your house, don't travel more than 5 miles from home or whatever it was. I mean, Jed, what's your thoughts on that during the COVID time, the way the police behaved?
The police behaved just like the brown shirts behaved, exactly as the state wanted them to enforce the draconian measures that they did give themselves, if you see what I mean. You know, people like Boris, particularly Justin Castro over in Canada, you know, the police did the government's bidding. And the point is with the police, they're supposed to uphold the law, the law abiding, and what they actually did was just enforce government policy, which was fundamentally wrong. I just want to say Adrian is actually in the studio, David. I don't know if you can see him on your
screen. I can't see him. Sorry, Adrian, I can't see you on my screen, so that means I can't bring you in. I wonder, Adrian, would you mind going out and coming back in again, because I can't see you, so I can't, means I can't bring you in. Sorry about this one. We're having all kinds of fun and game. Right, we're going to move on. Adrian is going to hopefully come back in again, and then he will appear. You actually, Jed, oh, here we go. You mentioned, Jed, Justin Castro, sorry, Justin Trudeau. And that brings me to the second thing I wanted to talk about, because I don't know if you saw, it's one of those golden moments that occurs during the day. And we've had the whole business about the US Supreme Court and the decision in Roe v. Wade, which, by the way, we tackle over on our Hard Truth podcast channel with Alana Mercer. We've got a really interesting one out over on Rumble, Jed, and I think it's it eventually comes out over on the Hard.
It's out today, David. It came out at midday on the Rumble channel and on the Hard Truth podcast channel.
And it's also available in a Tangled Web, as is every podcast, everything that David does, everything that's every one of these shows. Every show is archived and available for your entertaining purposes at David's original site, A Tangled Web.
So there we go. We know that. So that's all the legacy stuff. But I saw this thing anyway. Justin Trudeau was telling American women, presumably left-leaning American women, you know, given the Supreme Court decision, come to Canada. Come to Canada. We respect bodily autonomy, which gave me a bit of a laugh, given that for the past 2 years or so, this goon has been running around Canada enforcing removing bodily autonomy, not least from pregnant women, and telling everyone, yeah, it doesn't matter what you think, you've got to take the super jab. So I wondered, Ed, what you thought of the arrant hypocrisy, the stomach-churning hypocrisy of the Canadian Prime Minister.
Yeah, well, I've got to say, that was the first thing that came to my mind as well. It was a bit of a double take, you know. It's almost like the population is being trolled, isn't it, on a huge scale. And it's just beyond belief. But some of the people that are absolutely, I mean, if you go on networks such as LinkedIn or anything like that, it's just flooded with people jumping up and down about this issue. But, you know, the same people who were, everyone's got to be jabbed and, you know, consequences if you're not and everything. I just don't understand how people do not see the blatant hypocrisy, you know, how they can just switch on a sixpence, their argument for a certain narrative and do it with a straight face. It is quite something. But the whole thing, I mean, I know you had another show on it, but the whole thing with Roe versus Wade is so misreported deliberately by the likes of the BBC, etc., that, you know, all they've done is followed the Constitution and pushed this out federally to states. And, you know, so, for example, you know, Macron was given his two pennies worth. Well, you can have an abortion. You can't have an abortion past 14 weeks in France.
That's right.
You can have one at 15 weeks in redneck hillbilly Mississippi. So, you know, if you need an abortion, you'll have to leave France and go to Mississippi. You know, this is what... It's, I don't know, there's this America bashing thing at the moment, isn't there? It's just, let's find things and just bash America. And even when, you know, the facts fly in the face of what the argument is, nobody seems to care. And, you know.
Yeah, I know, you're right. Actually, Adrian, just bringing you in this one. I think Ed's 100% right. This is a deliberate misrepresentation of what the US Supreme Court actually did, because they acted constitutionally and they devolved the matter of abortions to the individual states, which is how it should be. But then when you've got all these people like Macron, like Castro, saying, it's the end of the world. They've banned abortions in the states. It couldn't be further from the truth.
Adrian. Well, we know that, we can see that. But the thing is, these people they're all singing from the same hymn sheet. So it's that old, well, if all these people are saying it, it must be true. And people aren't actually going and reading for themselves and trying to understand how the US Constitution is formed and how each state has its own state legislator and secretary of state who can make the laws for the individual states. We had numerous people, artists at Glastonbury at the weekend spouting off about how America has went back to the dark ages and things like that. The irony is, if you take their vaccine, you'll probably have a stillbirth or an abortion anyway. But again, it's just jumping on that bandwagon of, oh, look at me, I'm so righteous, I'm for women's rights, I'm for this, I'm for that. When the reality is, they do not give two fiddlers about any of our rights. because so many other rights are being eroded and taken away from us. That's a smokescreen while they're doing something else in the background that has taken other rights from us.
Yeah, and we have someone calling Captain Jimmy wants to call. Oh God, he's disappeared. He was about to come into the studio. Have another go, Captain Jimmy. Hit that button and you can come in. Jaja, you can come in. Leslie, but here we go. He's going to have another go to come in. We'll see what Captain Jimmy has to say. Yeah, Jimmy, I think you're here. Hello there. Hi. Hiya.
Howdy, y'all. How y'all doing?
Yeah, we're all doing fine. So what do you reckon to the issue of the U.S. Supreme Court decision and how it's been represented?
And which matter are y'all speaking of?
We're talking about. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. Let me explain. It's we're talking about the decision of the U.S. Supreme Court to overturn Roe versus Wade. Yeah. And what that means, and what you think it means, or how do you think the media is representing that versus what the Supreme Court actually decided?
Are you talking about the whole abortion thing, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So you know. I personally, you know, if they want to leave it in the hands of the state, that's fine. You know, I think every state should have their decision whether they should have abortion or not. And I personally think it's a woman's decision whether she wants abortion or not, because I can see that there's positives in it. People see it as a negative. And I can give you two instances of where abortion would be the route to go for certain pregnancies. A, you know, and this happens every day in this world, not just the United States, but in the world. There's at least one woman every day who has to make the decision to abort her baby to save her life. Because, like I said, there's that one woman, the doctor tells, if you give birth to your baby, you will die. But if you have an abortion, you will live. And I will not hold it against her. She wants to live, and she knows she gets the abortion.
Okay.
And mm-hmm. I can see a legit reason for that. The second reason is if the doctor tells you that, because we have technology now, they can test to see if the baby's going to come out normal, if it's going to come out all kinds of screwed up or messed up, you know. I, as a person, you know, I would never allow my child to suffer in this world. You know, if the doctor would have told me my child's been born deformed and all kinds of problems and it's going to be breathing, I'll suggest to my wife, you know, let's be humane. This shows some mercy and compassion to our child and put the poor child out of its misery. Because I say that because think about it. People have more compassion and mercy to an animal that's sick or that is something's really wrong with it. They'll put that animal down, but they won't put their own child. Some people will complain and say, oh, it's murder, okay. Wrong. But it's a little bit, how do you have more mercy and compassion for an animal instead of your own child who's suffering?
Yeah. Okay, I understand those points. Patty, as a fellow American to Captain Jimmy, would you like to come in on that?
Oh, man, that's a loaded question. Okay, suppose with the way the technology is going now, suppose they're able to identify a marker that shows that your child is going to be homosexual and you're a severe Christian family or you vehemently oppose that, and you think that's a sin or something. You said that's a defect to them. Should they be able to abort that child then, because it's they could identify that it's going to be gay? You know, that's it to the extreme. You got to take this to the extreme, because that's where they take this. Because now the big thing that the Democrats, the reason that this got overturned, and the real reason thing is they pushed this. It used to be, it was supposed to be, you know, rare and, you know, and all this and, you know, and necessary. But now they've got up to the last day of the pregnancy. You can pull the baby halfway out and kill it. And it's, you know, and anything. Now I'm pro-choice. I also at the same time understand that no matter at what stage it is, whether it's a day old, you're committing murder because life begins at conception. So, I mean, this is a very weighty thing. It is a woman's choice up to, I believe up to like, 3 months. Nobody can do anything to stop that. That's, you know, that's always been a woman's choice since we've been created. But at the same time, too, you start getting into selective eugenics, which was the whole purpose of abortion in the first place. Margaret Sanger wanted to eliminate the inferior races of off the planet.
You did. That's right. You're right, Patty. Yep.
And, you know, so you start looking at that. What is your opinion of inferior? To me, a life is a life. There is no inferior lives. If it's, whether the person is handicapped mentally, physically, you know, and everything else, they're still a life. They are not an inferior life. Their life is equal to anybody else. But that is my view. A lot of people's view is, you know, there's a lot of people that are inferior. You know, and they start making selections. You know, we wind up with, wind up with Hitler.
Yeah, you know, on this one, Ed, just want to turn to you. I want to just put a line that I used the other night, and it's sort of technical, scientific, but it impacts on this issue. The whole, in many regards, the whole issues concerning abortion, it's all about viability, at which point, you know, the thing becomes a possibility, and it's about the viability of life. And we heard from, you know, from Captain Jimmy there that there, you know, there may be circumstances where that may not be viable, in which case should something happen. But I was reading that with modern science and technology being at as good as it is, we could get to the point where a life becomes viable day one, Ed, is viable, at which point all the arguments against for abortion, they're swept away, are they not? Day one, viable. What do you think?
Yeah, so, I mean, my views on this are somewhere, I suppose, where I suspect most people's views are. And that is what I think I'm aghast at and horrified at is, and people celebrate this. I mean, I've seen people in protests with big bellies and pregnant written on saying, you know, horrible things, you know, you're my choice, you're not alive yet or whatever. Just horrendous. And it's this abortion up to 38 weeks that is just, again, abhorrent. You know, there's circumstances where I think it personally I can accept it, but I don't. You know, somebody waiting till 38 weeks is 100% unacceptable to me, unless there's risk of death that is that's actually this viable day one. I mean, 60 million abortions since Roe versus Wade, and you cannot help but think what people would have been amongst that 60 million. Do you know what I mean? It's like it's quite a horrific thought, isn't it? And it's a celebration of it that, you know, I trust people, 99.9% of people will do the right thing, you know, and there's a mother's instinct, there's all that stuff comes into play. And actually the contentious is a tiny, tiny fraction of it. I just don't think normal, well-adjusted women just on a whim at 38 weeks and, you know what, I'm going to kill this, but that isn't really going on. The viability thing, I don't know, is my honest answer to that. I don't have a strong opinion whether after a day that becomes immoral or wrong, and I would say you cannot abort it at that period. For me, it's the 12 weeks, or that still feels that sort of area is where I'm not saying I like it in any stretch, but I'm not vehemently against it as some people are. After that, I become troubled by it.
Interestingly, in the UK, it's up to 23 weeks. 23 weeks in the UK, 14 weeks in France. And then in the States now, it obviously will vary. But, in California, I would presume that's up to 52 weeks. The thing, I'm going to put forward a view to everybody. And it's this is where you should go and listen to the Hard Truth podcast we've done and the Rumble we've done on it with Alana Mercer and myself. And Alana put the view, I'll put it to everyone here, I'll go around everyone. Everyone gets to say in this, right? Alana put the view, which, I do admire her tenacity in this one. She takes the view, look, if liberal women, you know, these extreme liberal women, these Medusas of the left, these Gorgons, if they want to abort themselves into eternity, let them do it. Let them do it. Why do we want them to bring, mini Gorgons into the world, which is only going to screw things up anyway. This is Alana's argument. Don't come at me. And I think that's an interesting argument. Jed, you haven't spoken for a bit. I'll bring you in that. I mean, you heard it last night from Alana, or the other night. What do you think of her argument that why should we be supposed to? Who cares what they do?
Well, I care what they do. You see, I didn't used to have an opinion on abortion. But over the past couple of years, you know, I've watched people like Stephen Crowder, just to name one for the sake of the show. And I've gone from I don't care to I do care, and I care vehemently that abortion. We talk about women's choice. They have a choice. They can keep the legs shut. They can use contraception. They can use the morning after pill. I'm quite happy with the morning after pill, but I'm firmly on the side of at conception, a new life is created. And to take that life is murder. That okay. is my view. Now, on Alana's view, I can't side with that view, because then that's agreeing that taking a baby's life is okay, because we don't like what they say or what they do because they'll walk and this, that, and the other. It's still a life. At conception, life is created.
Okay, Adrian, can I bring you in that one? And just with regard specifically to the Alana Mercer's point that let liberal women do what they want, they're only going to wipe themselves off the planet. Would that be a bad thing?
Definitely not. There's enough lunatics in this world as it is, and there's enough stupid people in the world without them bringing more in. But right. there's a slightly wider issue as well that we haven't really touched on. The aborted fetuses is actually a massive business industry.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
yeah.
the pharmaceutical company use them for ingredients in medications, in cosmetics and things like that. There is a large, large business that creates a lot of money on the back of this, and it's not just the whole should we have a baby, should we not have a baby. Fetuses are creating billions of dollars for different people, and it's not just the plain should we get rid of this, should we keep it. There's a reason why the politicians are up in arms on this.
Yeah, actually, that's a good point. Actually, Adrian, Captain Jimmy, can I bring you in the back of that one? I'll just bring you back in. Hang on, you're unmuted.
Okay.
You just on the point that Adrian made, you know, there's this whole industry that's growing up around essentially, you know, harvesting the organs of the aborted fetuses. I wonder what your thoughts, because some of those are now those clinics are going to have to close. So is that a good thing, do you think, or what?
Well, I mean, if they can use the babies, you know, the baby parts for good to help other babies and to help, you know, those who are ill, by mm-hmm. all means, do it, you know, do it. Help these people live, survive them, and, you know, because if they need that body part, if they need something out of it, then even with the placenta, scientists have found cures and using the placenta. And why the United States government made it illegal to do certain types of stem cell research is beyond me. Why I don't understand. But I think from what I looked up and what I understand, you know, from how the way the government works, it's the medical field is a moneymaker. It's a mass multi-billion dollar moneymaker. And the way they say it is, why cure when we can treat and put more money in our pockets? And I'm pretty sure that goes around for the rest of the world too. Is why cure when we can just treat and make money? And I know Brett disagrees with me. I saw you, but the way I see it is, you know, if a baby dies during birth, or they abort the baby at a certain stage due to certain reasons, you know, if the baby's organs are still good, why let those organs go to waste? You know, there's some babies who are born with hearts that are messed up, or livers that are messed up, and kidneys, you know, why can't they use those to help those babies live?
Yeah, and thanks for that, Captain Jimmy. Leslie Butler is now joining the stream, if I'm quick enough. I think, hopefully, Leslie, you'll get the Yes, Leslie Butler is in the studio. She's in the building. Leslie, what's your thoughts on this one?
Hi, I pressed the wrong thing again, but I do have a little bit to say on this because I work in a surgery, and many years ago, when ladies wanted abortions or terminations,
yep,
they would have to make an appointment to see the doctor and then come in, see the doctor, and chat mm-hmm. over with him, and then go away, come back, check that you definitely do want to go ahead, and have a form signed by two doctors before
yep.
they then went ahead to the hospital her to then get an appointment to see the consultant at the hospital. Whereas now, there's like a self referral where the lady can just ring the hospital and just get the termination done sort of within a day or two.
So yeah. They've basically fast-tracked it, haven't they, Leslie? You know,
yeah.
And see the other point, Leslie, I just want to ask you this while you're here. Like, we mentioned the fact that I think it said there's roughly been 60 million abortions in the States since Roe v. Wade came in. And some people say that, look, with that number of abortions, these are not all accidents. This is some people, Leslie, using abortion as contraception. I wonder what you think of that.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah, because it's just so easy to just ring the self-referral and just go and have it done. But I think it's something like getting two tablets. You have one tablet and then pass out the fetus or whatever, and then you get your other tablet. But it is, I think it's made far too easy for people these days anyway. Before, like years ago, you definitely had to think about it, and they would have a chat to the partner and everything as well. But they made it far too easy, I think.
I think it's interesting. And by the way, can I just say, Leslie, I mean, on this topic, I really appreciate your input because, you know, I'm conscious it's a lot of men sitting around talking about something which, you know, I think it's probably, you know, it's for a family, but it's certainly a big issue for women. And can I just say, by the way, to those of you ladies over on the Getterverse, if you ever want to come in and actually talk, the way to do it is to sign up into Podbean, do what Leslie has done, and that way you can come in and you can talk directly to me and the rest of the guy, I was going to say the guys, but that's sexist. I mean, how do I even know you are guys, right? Because there's no such thing as gender. It's such a big issue, this one. And for me, Leslie, again, just a final point with you, because it's good to have a woman's input. Like, I know what you're going to say, but for the last couple of years, we've been told, listen, bodily autonomy, sorry. You don't get to exercise bodily autonomy because you've got to take a vaccine. You've got to have this life-saving vaccine, right? And if you don't do that, you're going to lose your job, or you're going to be threatened, Leslie, with the loss of your job, and you're going to be isolated. You're going to be stopped from going to polite society, all of that. Bodily autonomy went out the window. And now all of a sudden we have, it's very, very important that we protect bodily autonomy. There's a certain hypocrisy at play in this as well, isn't there? Leslie.
Yeah, very, very much so. Well, for two years I've been sat in an office. Well, I work in a GP surgery, if I'm allowed to say.
Yeah.
But anyway, and everybody apart from me has been vaccinated, and so it's been really awkward that I'm not vaccinated and they are.
Yeah.
So for two years I've heard them all witter on about these vaccines and get everybody in to have them, all the patients and everything. Well, I've been sat there realizing that I'm like the odd one out and I might be passing on these germs to everybody, knowing full well I haven't been. But even today they were talking about how many times people have been off with getting COVID, even though they've been fully jabbed. And so I said, I thought, right, I'll mention now. I said, well, I've had no jabs and yet I've not even had one day off since all this time. What do you think to that? And all this particular doctor turned around to say, that doesn't make you right, Leslie. It just makes you smug.
Say the people who could not be more smug. Actually, Jaja 79 makes a good comment. I see here, Leslie again, which is an interesting one. She's saying well, we'll call it a vaccine, even though it's not a vaccine, right? But the vaccine is another available birth control option. And actually, Leslie, there's a point there, because I saw information coming out of Germany the last couple of days showing that all of a sudden fertility rates have suddenly started to drop. And is this another consequence that, you know, that are we allowed to talk about these things? Well, no, not in the mainstream media, but here we are allowed to talk about these things. So Captain Jimmy, I'm going to move on, Leslie, but thanks so much for being here. Captain Jimmy says, no problem. Pleasure to hear you, Leslie. Jimmy says, vaccines don't prevent you from being sick. All it does is lower the serious side effects. That's what they said, Jimmy. There's no evidence of that, I'm afraid. So that's the reality of it. In fact, just to be clear on my view on this one, Captain Jimmy, is these vaccines are pure poison. Just FYI, but everyone's entitled to have their point of view. Sorry, was that who? Someone wanted to come in there?
Can I say something though?
Yes, Jimmy. Jimmy, you can come back in, and then Patty going to come to you. Right, Jimmy, first.
I will say this. You know, before I got the vaccine, or I got vaccinated and the boosters, I was very much lactose. But I noticed after I got the vaccines, and when I eat dairy products, I don't get sick anymore from dairy products. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah,
I have noticed that.
Yeah, there's all kinds of things I've noticed about the vaccine. Patty, do you want to come in there?
Sure.
Yeah.
What? Where? When? How?
Yeah,
actually, there was just a study come out this week about the unbelievable increase in defective or disformities and different syndromes that babies being born of parents that were jabbed have gone through the roof. This vaccine was passed on through pregnancy, and these babies of where their mothers have been jabbed are now starting to show some major issues. And it's, you know, this was an experimental therapy, and they used the whole world as a test lab, and there is having some real bad effects on it.
Yep. Adrian, actually, just bring you in, and then Jed, I'm coming to you. Adrian, just on this whole thing about what Patty said about the some of the information we're getting out concerning the side effects in babies. But that can't be right, because I saw a tweet that's from Elmo from Sesame Street, saying Elmo, he's been and had his vaccine, and his mummy and daddy took him, and everybody's super duper fine. So I can't understand what Patty's talking about. Can you?
Oh, good old Elmo, just to help brainwash the population even more. There were studies that came out of Sweden a couple of months ago, and they were able to show that mothers who were breastfeeding, who had been vaccinated, had been able to pass on the spike protein. I think I've seen as well something to do with it also being passed through in sperm. So I don't think we fully understand the long-term damage. We know the damage that it's doing to grown adults. We've seen the number of sudden adult death syndrome cases over the last few months. But how is this going to affect children from the moment they're born, from their from conception right through growing up and going through puberty? How is that really going to affect the population?
Yep. And sorry, Adrian, just want to bring Ed in. Ed, if you want to come in there, you've got a comment you want to make as well.
Yeah, I just a slightly different look at the whole Roe versus Wade thing. So I don't know if anyone's familiar with the book Freakonomics that came out.
I read it.
Yeah. So these guys were just statisticians who looked at things very dispassionately and objectively. And you might remember that crime took a big nosedive under Rudy Giuliani in New York.
Yes, it did. Yep.
So what these guys managed to prove via statistics was that this nosedive in crime happened roughly 18 years after Roe versus Wade, and effectively took a generation of unwanted predominantly black children out of existence. And that was directly responsible for the huge reduction of crime. So one consequence here potentially could be a reversal of that situation. So it just gives an interesting dynamic to the whole debate.
Yeah. Although, Ed, I'm reminded of that truism that 99% of statistics are made up on the spot, you know?
Yeah, but to be fair, I mean, it did make sense. They did prove their thesis quite well, I thought. And
well, you see, actually, to be honest, Ed, that is kind of Alana Mercer's argument, which you've just made.
That's... Well, I disagree with her, I've got to say. I think that is the mindset of eugenics, and it makes me very uncomfortable. Ultimately, a life isn't responsible for the parents, you know, and their views. It's a life. And it's totally independent. And one last thing, I know we said about were men talking about it, but actually nobody talks about the fathers, because what if the father does, you know, half of that child is the father, and what if the father doesn't want the abortion and the woman does, you know, but that doesn't seem to get an airing in all this.
Yeah, I mean, that is, Ed, I think you're making a point that will resonate with many, well, certainly responsible men anyway, because obviously, you know, we would take, you know, the creation of a baby and bringing a baby into this world extremely seriously, but maybe they don't all do that, unfortunately. By the way, Jaja, I did laugh at your comment. I just wanted to say, Jaja says, if you want an Elmo baby, then I suppose the vaccines will work for you. Yeah, actually, you know, seriously on this one, though, I think it's wicked the way they use these kids characters, really much loved kids characters like Elmo from Sesame Street, you know, to push these kind of political agendas, whether you agree with them or not. I just think that it's completely wrong, that it's so manipulative on that one. So, Jed, anything you want to add to this one?
Well, I just want to comment on what Leslie actually commented on, and because she moved on to the COVID element, which could actually be classed as, in some cases, birth control, she did say she'd opened a can of worms. That's the idea of this show, Leslie. It's about people's opinions, and we discuss and debate it as we go along. So, no, I don't have anything further to add with Roe v. Wade. I think my point is pretty clear. Life starts at conception. That's it. Full stop.
I'm just sniggering here. I'm laughing because I just opened up I'm doing all this through my computer, but I've opened up my phone, and the first thing I see, this is on my Getter notifications, I see someone sent me Sesame Street, and it's a picture of Elmo with a doctor, and it's entitled Elmo's First Heart Attack. You would need a heart of stone not to laugh. Go and check it out on my Getter stream. You'll see a guy, someone called Northern Monkey has sent me this. But it is manipulation. And by the way, yes, Jed, to Leslie, this is the whole point, folks, of what we do here. Look, we just go with the flow. You know what I mean? If you want to bring something in and change topic, that's fine by me. You know, we're not the mainstream media. We don't, you know, no one is telling us what to do. We're just deciding how to do it ourselves. And it's great to see so many people in the stream. And the only thing about the more people come into the stream, the less time I can give everyone individually. I hope you understand that. So it's not that I'm trying to isolate anyone. It's just that there's just more people talking, and therefore we go through the time. So look, folks, we're pretty much at the end of the hour. We haven't got to the third topic. You know, but although actually maybe I should actually. I just wanted to say I'll finish in this one, and I'll go round everyone. Everyone gets a say in this one if you want to say something. Did everyone have a good laugh watching the Democrat Star Chamber on the January 6th insurrection, and in particular the claim that President Trump wanted to he tried. To choke the driver so he could take control of the limo he was in and then lead an armed rebellion on Capitol Hill. And then I don't know if you've seen this one, but the woman who made this claim, whose name I can't remember, but I'm sure you guys will know who she is. Anyway, turns out that she's been proven to be a complete liar, which of course she was from day one on this one. And so it's a real, you know, it amuses me at one level, but it shows how deranged the Democrats are. Patty, I'm coming to you first because you're the guy most associated. I'm going to go to everyone. Patty, what do you think of the January 6th show trials?
These people, everybody involved in them needs to be prosecuted for treason, because this is the most dangerous committee that has been formed since the United States was created. What these people have done, there's still people locked in solitary confinement for trespassing on the Capitol. I mean, there is no representation. There's no cross-examination. Everything Hutchinson said on the stand was hearsay. The Secret Service came out and said, you can't even reach the steering wheel from the back of the beast. This is why hearsay is not allowed in a courtroom. This trial, so-called trial, is a propaganda event to try to prevent Trump from being able to run. And it has failed miserably. And my only regret is that if the Republicans take back control of the House and Senate, they're not going to do anything to prosecute those who have violated everyone's civil rights that has been involved in this. This is an absolute disgrace and a tragedy. This is worse. This is as bad as the old Soviet Union.
Well, actually, can I bring in then your compatriot, Captain Jimmy? Captain Jimmy, you have the floor.
Oh, thank you.
What's your thoughts on the show trials?
Well, I tell you, for one, everybody who did storm the Capitol, in my eyes, they are considered traitors. They had no excuse to do that at all. And what that lady said about Trump reaching over to choke or grab the driver, I honestly can't agree and I can't disagree with her, because I wasn't there. She was, along with a bunch of other people that were in the car with Trump. So, and for somebody to say that a person from the back can't reach over and grab the driver, I mean, the way those cars are built and designed for the president, I can understand why you could say that, because they do put those shields around for bulletproof protection and stuff. And I get it. I mean, you more than likely, you're probably correct on that. But I, as a person, I cannot agree or disagree with what she said, if she was there or wasn't there. I don't know. I wasn't there. But for sure, those people need to be locked up who stormed the Capitol. No question. But they should be charged as traitors. That was treason by far. They had no excuse to do that.
Okay, Captain Jimmy. Ed, do you want to come in on that one?
Yeah, I got to disagree completely with Captain Jimmy there.
Go ahead.
The people in the car, the chauffeur included, and Donald Trump Jr. put out that basically everyone else in the car will swear under oath that that is complete fabrication and nonsense. I think what troubles me about it, just if people want to know really what's gone on with those people locked up, I would recommend they follow somebody called Brandon Straka, I think his name is, who created the walkaway movement for Democrats to walk away from the Democrats to Republicans. And he has been public enemy number one, and how he's been treated. He's an interesting person to hear how those people have been treated. But what concerns me greatly is our friends, the BBC. If you look at the greatest hits of these trials, that's obviously had a big feature today, the whole steering wheel incident. There is no objective reporting of this. It's just demonization. And of course, if those people do testify, as Donald Trump Jr. is saying they will under oath, that won't get reported. It's all about creating a narrative globally. And this is what this trial is all about. It's just more anti-Trump narrative for global consumption.
Okay, Jed, do you want to?
I want to see a layout of that car first of all, and where everybody was sitting, just to make it to have an opinion whether he did or didn't, or was able not to be able to choke the driver.
Okay, Jimmy, that's it, right? Jed.
Yeah, thanks, David. Well, it is a pure show trial, because there is no there is no opposition to what is being said. There's only one side being told, and it's being told full of lies, full of conjecture, full of hype. And the thing is, you know, we're now going through this show trial of Trump, who said, you know, march to the Capitol peacefully. Yet we have Democrats now outside the Supreme Court literally calling for violence against the Supreme Court judges and the Supreme Court as a whole, yet that is absolutely fine. That is acceptable in modern society, but Trump saying, go to the march to the Capitol and have your voice heard peacefully, is insurrection. Utter BS. It's all a show. And it's,
okay.
And the fact is, the Americans aren't watching this. They've turned off. They know it's a show.
Okay. And then, Adrian, I'd like you to come in and tell us what you think.
I think it's interesting that Cassidy Hutchinson, her lawyer, was a man named Hunt, who was one of the top aides for Mark Meadows, who was very prominent in Trump's administration. I find that very interesting. And also the fact that NBC practically came out straight away and said, we have Secret Service agents who were there who will testify that this did not happen. So is this just to show the rest of the world that this is just a complete farce? These people are just making stuff up. They're willing to put anything they can out there, a case of throw mud and see what sticks. But ultimately, people are starting to see through the sham, because they can't see the violence that is being directed towards Supreme Court judges and all the other different issues that are going on, about how they're so one-sided but willing to overlook so many other things.
Yeah, yeah. And actually, when Jed was talking there about the fact that we saw it was Maxine, the absolute lunatic, the extreme lunatic, Maxine Waters, I think she's called her, Walters, who was outside the Supreme Court basically saying that they weren't going to pay any attention to what the Supreme Court said. I think, Jed, you were referencing that. My own take on it is, just to wrap things up here, is that here's the reality. The US has got these January 6th political prisoners in solitary, like something we would expect to see in North Korea. It's an absolute disgrace. There wasn't an insurrection on January the 6th. It's an invention of the left, of the Democrats. Some people might think it's a pity there wasn't, but of course, I'm not saying that. Some people might think that. Certainly, we have this illegitimate Biden regime installed in the back of it. We see America being destroyed by the day. And it's quite right that some of us are prepared to express extreme alarm and concern at what's happening. But here's the thing. Despite our rocky start and the fact we went off air on the Podbean, but not on the Getters, we definitely have come to the end of our time, folks. So can I thank Ed, all our usuals, Ed and Jed, Paddy City Troll, Adrian. Can I also thank Leslie Butler for phoning in? Can I thank Captain Jimmy for phoning in as well? Thank you so much. Thank you to everybody over on the Getters as well for being here and sharing in this little experiment we do each week. I hope you will, those of you who listened at the beginning, consider joining up on the fan club as clicking a button and subscribing to the premium channel as well. That's just another click of the button, Jed. And thank you very much for sharing this time with us on a Thursday evening.
Well, you're welcome. I'm a new fan of your show now.
Just thank you very much. Pleasure to speak. Thank you very much, everybody, and we will be back. But that's it from us for tonight. Good night.